Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Daner Jr., who covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Paul, good morning. How are you?
What's going on? Good morning.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Paul, the offense for the Bengals, do you feel like they started to figure some things out in the second half on Monday night against the Rams? Where do you think they are right now offensively?
Figuring things out would be the key phrase. This is a group that came in with as much continuity and kind of star power as anybody in football, with these three receivers and Burrow and an offensive line that they think is the best that he's had since he's been here. But it's almost as if they've had to redo the way they operate offensively because of Joe Burrow's calf injury. You know, I mean, that he once he tweaked it in week two, they'd already kind of been working in a limited way. I mean, he was not under center. They're not able to roll him out much. You're not seeing all that off script kind of creative magic that's been a Burrow signature. And so everything is in the pocket, and it's him, and he can do that. Obviously it's one of his strengths, but they're not fully operational yet. So they're figuring things out. Yes, you're seeing some semblances of it, but they're just going to be limited for a little while as he tries to gradually get himself all the way back to full health. We don't know how much farther he'll be back this weekend. He hopes, and they hope certainly, better than he was on Monday, where he was really gritting through it. But that's really where their limitations are that makes them different. And they are still kind of figuring it out as they go, what they can and can't do.
Yeah, Paul, you had a great breakdown of this at The Athletic. Some things I hadn't even thought about, like they can't even really run outside zone, right? Because he can't accelerate to the handoff, or he has to be in shotgun. They've got some, like the menu is limited in the run game, which you would think would be the natural answer to maybe try to offset some of this, but that has not gone as well as hoped either, right? In terms of some of the underlying numbers.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, when he said he was going to play, it was a little surprising. When he threw it 49 times, that was a lot surprising on top of that. But a lot of that was they're calling RPOs. He's just standing back there in the pocket, giving the play fake and throwing the quick hits where there's not a ton of stress necessarily on him, even as much as it would be if he was giving it out. And the line, you know, to their credit, did a pretty nice job protecting where they felt comfortable with him standing back there. And he took a couple of licks from Aaron Donald, but who doesn't? And so it's kind of a thing where they feel like, yeah, the run game sounds like a nice thing to lean into. It hasn't been as efficient as they'd like it to, partially because they're limited in all the runs that they can call. And they also use so much of that quick game as an extension of their run game. You know, even if it's just however many times they just threw in the flat to Ja'Marr Chase, well, that's a run. And that's a scary one for defenses, and because, you know, what makes one guy miss and he can go a long way. I specifically remember the Titans divisional playoff game when the Bengals offense was struggling for a while, and just one quick one to Ja'Marr kind of helped break them out. So that's how they view it. It's yeah, you're throwing it more, but it's a little bit of having to be creative with that as an extension of the run game to try to get some efficiency on early downs.
Paul, you bring up Ja'Marr Chase. How much differently are they using him this year? I mean, I'm watching that game Monday, and he's in the slot. He's outside. I saw him line up at the backfield in one play. Mm-hmm. How much different has the usage been with him so far this year?
This has really been an extension of last year. You know, we saw at the tail end, really during their postseason run in 2021, they started moving him around more. And it was a lot for him to handle at that point as a rookie, but he started doing it. Last year, they kind of unleashed a full package, more in the backfield, much more in the slot, motions, jet motions, all of the any way just to kind of free him up and run stuff for him. You saw that all last year. This has felt a lot like that. There's been, you know, maybe a few extra wrinkles in there, but for the most part, you know, any way they can get him the ball is good. And honestly, they hadn't been getting him the ball. The first 2 weeks, he had 70 yards. And you know, he's still yet to gritty this year. I mean, he hasn't scored a touchdown. So they're still kind of looking for, you saw Monday night, and Burrow said it specifically, and I've kind of been terming it like anyone in their life when you're in times of crisis, like the Bengals kind of were on Monday, go back to the thing you know you do best. Go back to your number one, and that is Burrow to Chase. And so Burrow said, I'm feeding my guy. I'm leaning into that when I'm hurt. And you saw that on Monday night.
So the Titans just saw Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns, Paul, and it was ugly. It was ugly for the Titans. It was beautiful for Browns fans. I'm just wondering from your perspective, because I know it was rainy that day, and again, we've just been talking about the Bengals issues and everything, but how good do you think that Cleveland Browns defense is?
I tell you, that was the perfect storm, no pun intended there, on opening day, where, you know, you had, they already knew, like, Burrow was a little limited in what he was going to be able to do back there. Okay, now the field's a little wet, and so you're even more nervous about his movement. And now you can't grip the ball as well. And now guess what? This Browns defense is an absolute wrecking crew, and they're getting after you. And, is, you know, you can see Jim Schwartz doing new things with all these weapons and Garrett, and their corners really cover, which is kind of the part that people aren't talking enough about with that Browns defense. I mean, they can really cover well. That gives them even more time to rush. And it's a nightmare. It was a nightmare for the Bengals that day. I mean, they couldn't do anything. And it was obviously a nightmare for the Titans. The Browns are real. If they can get anything resembling quality quarterback play out of Deshaun Watson, they're a scary team in the AFC, because they've always had the talent, and they've always looked like they should be able to be that good defensively. They just never put it together, but maybe Jim Schwartz just figured it out. I think they're going to do that to a lot of teams this year.
Paul Danner Jr. with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Paul, what have been your impressions of Cincinnati defensively so far this year?
Yeah, this is where it's got to be for them right now. And what you saw Monday night was a big deal for this team, not just to win, but for the defense to show, hey, we can throw you on our back for a while you guys get all the way back offensively, because that's what they need. They need to win games, sort of an old slobber knocking AFC North style, where you play a little ball control and a little field position and let your defense go win you some games. They built this defense to win a Super Bowl. It has depth. They have nothing but veteran proven starters across every level that they've paid or extended or use high draft picks on. And they have used their last 7 day 1 and 2 picks on the defensive side of the ball, and only 2 of those are currently starting. They're just guys in rotation pieces. They're built for depth. I mean, they have depth at premium positions, and so they're ready for the battle of attrition. And but that was the first time on Monday where you saw it come into kind of full throat of looking like a defense that can really change the dynamics of a game and carry this team for, you know, 3 to 4 weeks as they get Burrow's calf all the way back.
So, yeah, just on that, Cass, so is the idea, because I kind of thought maybe it would just make sense to try to grind one out against the Rams, rest him, and get it going. Like, they do feel like he'll be able to make kind of, as long as he doesn't do anything in games, incremental progress there and look more like the guy who makes all these off-schedule plays at some point this year?
Yeah, I think the idea is you got to get through a few weeks avoiding the setback. Yeah, they were so close. So they kind of gutted out week 1 and then got through almost all of week 2, in which their offense really came together and looked good, and he played well in the second half. And then he tweaks it on the second to last play of the game, and you're right back to ground zero, essentially, of just the idea is it's feeling it is doing better. He is able to move around, but they got to just avoid a setback in these games and continue to manage it during the weeks. And then you feel like over the course of the next 3-4 weeks, he should be able to be back to be fully himself, but they want to try to make sure they're winning games along the way. But it's a risk. I mean, it's part of it, but it's something that he's just got to learn how to manage, and they've got to learn how to manage a little bit right now. He's not going to be on Sunday. You're not going to see that guy who's spinning out of guys in the backfield and running all around. It's just not who they are or he can be right now, but they feel like he can get there. The key is win a game, avoid a setback. Those are kind of the 2 boxes they're trying to check right now.
Well, Paul, we're looking forward to the game coming up on Sunday. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Have a good one. We'll see you this weekend.
Absolutely. Paul Danner Jr., our guest on Robbie and Rex Road, covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will do that next. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans Week 4 matchup against the Bengals and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.